Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach.
Hiya.
This is the mini. I'm Tux Lerzel.
I'm Stephanie Domingo.
We're both kind of gassy today.
Yeah. It's the bubbly water.
Yes, because we be drinking.
Yes.
And lately, I've been swearing much more since it has come to my attention.
Yes.
That I wasn't swearing enough.
I like that you didn't realize.
It's just not my natural way, but now...
Now he's been practicing in his spare time, you guys.
Look in the mirror. Just like, fuck. Okay, so this is the mini. This is the show where we read listener mail on specific topics related to American history, politics, or culture. Today we're reading and replaying the responses we got back from the topic of our last mini, which is the sort of origin stories for how people got interested in either
history and politics.
History or politics or both together.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys have already heard our stories, so here's some more. Everybody has a totally different origin story.
Yeah.
And they're all really interesting.
So fascinating. So we have an email from the very funny podcast host, Josh at the Bloody Beaver Podcast. He writes, "What's up, Steph and Tux? I listened to your minisode 14 and debated whether or not to chime in. But since you're reading this, I guess I got my chime on. My interest in history is easy. I was a boy and a lot of history revolves around war. And I thought war was cool." That's such a little boy shit. Did you really? You thought war was cool?
I was into like World War II. Yeah.
Oh.
But I think that also has to do with my family being
your grandpa.
Like German and American.
Yeah. Okay. He goes on to say, "Now I'm an adult and realize how horrific war is. And I also realize that if we aren't aware of our history, we're doomed to repeat it. So still a big fan of history. I like looking into the abyss, and I hope it doesn't stare back at me too hard. Politics is a whole nother story." I like the apostrophe nother.
Whole nother.
Yeah. He's so Texan. I love it. "And this is what prompted me to chime in. I think I've got a completely different origin story from most of your listeners. Obviously, I'm a big fan of podcasts, and before podcasts ever existed, I was a fan of talk radio. AM talk radio." Yes. "If you're not familiar with the dying medium that is AM talk radio, it's predominantly conservative / Republican, and I was into it. It, along with the environment I grew up in, shaped my political views for years. And then a little something called the 2016 election happened."
That'll do it.
"Yeah. While I considered myself to be mostly conservative on a lot of the political spectrum, I was disgusted with Trump and the dumbasses that bowed their knees to him. The same people who were so angry over Clinton getting his dick sucked all of a sudden had no moral qualms whatsoever with Mr. Grab 'em by the pussy. It was extremely eye-opening, and it helped me realize how rampant hypocrisy is on both sides of the aisle. This is even more evident in the recent push on the right to criminalize pornography." Did you hear about... I didn't even know this was a thing.
I've heard little bits and pieces, but
what?
I don't...
That's a losing... Okay.
I think part of it also has to do with the whole, like, privatizing the internet situation, but I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really know.
Okay.
Don't listen to me. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Okay. You're drunk. I like that. That's what I say about everything. You've had three sips.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's drunk, you guys.
Yep.
Don't listen to him. Where was I? Pornography. Yes. Okay. "While at the same time attempting to reelect a guy who paid to have sex with a porn star. WTF. Anyways, after 2016, I removed myself mostly from politics. I'm forever going to be a news junkie, so I keep my eyes and ears open. But I no longer listen to AM radio or political podcasts, unless they're of a historical nature and they be drinking and cussing."
I wonder who he's talking about.
Tux is blushing, you guys.
I'm getting the vapors.
"I'm what I consider to be politically homeless. I still have conservative ideals. I like the idea of a smaller government and free markets, and I want to keep my guns. But also, I think most drugs should be legalized, gay marriage legalized, and prostitution legalized. So I guess I'm one of those socially liberal and fiscally conservative people." Mm-hmm. Hell, I don't know. So that's my complicated and way too easy to misinterpret via email relationship with politics. At the end of the day, I find solace in the fact that most of us are cool with each other. Despite what you might see on the news or social media, I work and interact with people of all ethnicities and backgrounds on a daily basis. We all get along. I'm a dumb guy from Texas who barely graduated high school and does a cringy Wild West podcast. Y'all are way up there in NYC and very liberal, yet I've had nothing but positive interactions with both of you, and I'm hoping your interactions with me were pleasant as well. They are.
Yeah,
obviously.
Absolutely.
Duh.
Yeah. We had you on as a guest. Yeah. You guys know Josh already.
Yeah. His podcast is great, too. Yeah. You guys need to check it out.
But, like, Division sells papers. Division sells cable subscriptions. Yeah. So, like,
There's a reason.
Yeah, there's a reason that they want us to
hate it's in their financial interest to create controversy and, like, division.
I think everyone is somewhere on the political spectrum. Like, nobody is 100% one way or 100% another way.
There's
it's easy to, like,
nuance.
Get into, like, a camp and feel...
Yeah, if you're, especially if you're tuning into cable news...
Yeah, absolutely.
Or listening to talk radio in the morning. Yeah. Don't do that. where was I? Sorry. So, do I agree with everything y'all say politically? Of course not. Do I agree with everything my Trump-supporting parents believe when it comes to politics? Fuck no. But I still love them, and I still love beyond reproach. And my parents love me, even though they know I'll never vote for Trump. They also love my Hispanic girlfriend and my half-black son. So long story short, I guess I feel like we have to be aware and engage with politics. It's important. I get that. But we can't lose sight of humanity. And I think that's exactly what's happening nowadays. Tribalism, red versus blue, right versus left. I feel like he has in quotes, they want us to be at each other's throats. I feel like you're right.
Yeah.
And God forbid we ever find any common ground and treat each other as actual human fucking beings. And I'm bowing out of it. I choose to judge people on their heart and their actions and not who they vote for or whatever political beliefs they happen to have for the time being. And then he ends, I'm Josh from Bloody Beaver Podcasts, and I hope some of this made sense. P.S. Thanks for getting me drunk on your podcast. Had lots of fun and hope Tim worked his editing wizardry on my drunk ass. On all of our drunk asses.
Tim literally is a powerful wizard.
He casted a lot of spells.
He should be feared.
Yes.
And
praised. Yes.
Because
give honor to Tim.
We said multiple times in the last episode how we had all these technical issues, but listening back at it, once Tim had waved his magic wand, it sounds perfect.
It does. And we sound insane.
We sound so weird being like, oh, sorry about all the technical issues that don't exist after Tim did his
blood
expert
sacrifices?
Wizardry. Yes. Expertise, blood sacrifices, same
tomato,
thing.
Tomato, tomato. Depends where you're from. It's regional, you know?
I think that's an Ohio thing.
Wait, you guys don't call them blood sacrifices? Oh, huh.
But also, yes, if you guys have not checked out Josh's podcast,
yes,
Bloody Beaver, check it out.
It's really, really amazing. So funny.
Yeah.
And you learn a lot, too.
Yeah, and I honestly, I always kind of thought that the Wild West was boring because my grandpa loves Western movies.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I love old movies, Westerns bore me to tears.
Oh, snooze fest.
But Josh's podcast is fun.
So
for somebody who didn't think he would like Wild West stories, it's really fun.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Okay, so we have another email from, Nope. Jumping the gun.
It's all right.
Next, we have a, what am I going to say? Audio message? Why can't I talk today?
Voice message.
Ta-da! Oh my God. Whiskey. Jesus. So now we have a voice message from our friend Matt Abetti.
Matt is an ex-podcast host and a comedian, performance artist, all sorts of things. Jack of all trades, political junkie, ex-strategist, apparently weightlifter.
Yeah. Oh, I miss their podcast so much. But yeah, Matt and another friend of his used to record a podcast called We're Just Here to Help.
Yeah.
And it was literally like my favorite thing in the whole world.
It was so good.
Yeah. All right. So here's Matt.
All right. So what made me interested in politics and history? I grew up in a house full of debate and discussion. So I was really lucky because both my mom and my dad were the type of people who argued about what was right or wrong and things were happening in the news. And, you know, generally we were all like very liberal, but I think my parents, because they were professors, were very, not just interested in like agreement, but they were very interested in sort of how solid the argument was. My parents were really into talking about theory and politics and religion and all this stuff. But it meant that there was sort of this rigor added to argument. There was like this added layer of like having the right idea wasn't enough. it was important to be able to withstand really intense debate. And my dad was really, really good at this. My dad was very good at going, you know, suppose I believed this, and suppose, you know, you met somebody like this, and he would sort of take that person's position. And for me, as I got older, and I started debating in high school and college, and I started having to interact with people in the real world, and despite being very liberal, I grew up in Texas, so running into a lot of people who had very, very different opinions about the world. The most intense one was, I'm Muslim by tradition, but I'm an atheist. Most of my family are atheists. And so we identify with the fact that we're seen as Muslims, and we identify with a lot of the cultural customs. We'll celebrate Eid, and we'll celebrate Persian New Year's and stuff like that. But those made us different. And it meant that our lives were very immediately political, not just because of the color of our skin, not just because of our choice of religion or lack of religion. Politics is the heart of our family. It's what kind of kept us sane in a lot of ways. I mean, I think when you stand out against the backdrop that you're a part of, you kind of have to engage in a little bit of like self-validation and self-justification. And a part of that can be sitting down and having some real thought, some real rigor behind your thoughts, because the people around you pretty much think you're all wrong, right? So if you're going to have some atypical positions or positions that stand out against your conservative backdrop, you got to get pretty sharp about them. I would also say that, you know, my brand of progressivism sticks out, especially in Brooklyn. And when I go back to Texas, or I run into my friends from Texas who still live there, they kind of have this refrain, which is like, hey, you know, Matt, you know, that's super liberal. It's because you're in the Brooklyn bubble and stuff like that. And so I think that context is very important. And I do find myself having to have a rigor from a different direction now that I live here in Brooklyn, now that my inputs are very different. One of the things that really made politics and debate extra interesting was that it wasn't schoolwork. Debate made a whole lot more sense than classwork for me. I understood competing ideas more than I understood acing an exam. An improvised idea that you refine over time, that speaks to me a whole lot more than someone who nailed a 3-paragraph essay. It's kind of a self-liberating process for me because I learned how to defend my identity, who I was, my particular point of view, my philosophy on the world. But it also was a way for me to think about educating myself and taking control and ownership over that. So I think that's a less political origin story, but just more like a very personal one. So yeah, that was politics. And I think history was just a mechanism for me to learn about politics, to say, well, back in history or in this country, or there's an example of this, and here's what this proves, and this is what it says about human nature, and or why people should have a particular point of view or philosophy over another. All right, I think I've rambled for a while. I hope some of this has been helpful. You guys have a good night. Bye.
So cool.
Yeah.
Really thoughtful message.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, his family influence and like his love of debate and everything sort of came together.
I wish that I had taken debate.
Me too.
I never.
Yeah, it was a club. It wasn't an actual class.
Yeah.
But my sister, my older sister, took it, and yeah, she's fierce because of it, I think. Yeah. Like, super sharp. Like,
I know, I feel like I'm usually pretty good at being able to, like, voice my opinion and yeah. have, like, points to make and
yeah.
things to come back against other people, but, like, I would be so much sharper mm-hmm. if I had actually...
It's practice.
Yeah. But the point about, like, history just being
a vehicle of, like, for politics, it's really... Yeah, no, it grounds it. I agree completely. Thank you, Matt.
Yeah. And please, I know you guys have said you're not doing it anymore, but we love you. Please,
yeah.
please bring back. Oh, we're just here to help.
If only, old Carini.
Okay, so now I have an email from...
Superstar listener Annie.
Yes, everybody
from Ohio
knows Annie by this point.
Everyone else's state needs to do better because Annie is representing yes. for all of Ohio.
Annie says, hi guys. In regards to how I got into American history and politics, I'd like to just share with you that I have always been good at history as a subject, American or otherwise. And by good, I mean, I was always the A student in those subjects.
No braggies.
Not to brag, okay. She says.
I love it.
But I was also great with government and geography, which, oddly enough, counted as a history class. For whatever reason, all through school, it was all of those things were clumped under social studies.
Yeah, no, we had them separated in Ohio.
Upstate New York, you know. She says, I fell off the grid in a very bad way when it came to economics, though.
Same.
Yeah, me too. Mine was more because I hated my economics teacher.
Yeah, he sounds like the pits.
Yeah. It all went right over my head. My history was normal. We learned all about the Holocaust and slavery, like many other schools teach, but yes, it was skimmed over. Probably because the majority of my school was predominantly white/Caucasian, and our teachers weren't very informed on the subjects at hand either. The system is whitewashed, but not, I don't think, because all whites want it to be. It has a lot to do with what we were taught by teachers who were taught what their teachers were told to teach. As for politics, that is something my family always fought about and still does. We're a very democratic family, and if you even suggest being a liberal, my stepfather goes crazy, but sort of in a fun way.
Okay.
I'd like to see that, I guess. I first remember becoming interested in politics when Monica Lewinsky presented her blue dress. I swear, LOL. That was when I was like, Clinton who? Monica did what? Huh. I was about 13 or so at this point, so naturally my head was turned to gawk.
Same.
After that, I remember Bush getting elected, and after that, well, I became a registered voter. I've always been a lover of facts and knowledge, so when it was suggested I listen to Beyond Reproach, wow. She has a mind-blown emoji there.
Aw.
Annie. Thanks, Annie.
Yeah, thank you.
You're the damn best.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, that was great.
I'm curious to know about her stepfather.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, he would go crazy, like, in a good way, in a bad way. It's ambiguous, but let us know.
So now we have
Allie, right?
We got messages from another one of our favorite podcasts, which is called Herstory on the Rocks.
Yes.
If you guys have not listened to Herstory on the Rocks,
they're amazing. They explore the wonderful women of history, and they get drunk, like really drunk, and it's such great time.
They put us to shame.
They really do. And I'm embarrassed. I'm like, we could be doing so much better.
We need to be so much more drunk.
Yeah. But you guys, they set the bar so high.
I feel like I would not be able to function. But anyways, yeah, Allie and Katie both sent us messages. So we're going to play Allie's first.
Hi, Stephanie and Tux. This is Allie from Herstory on the Rocks. And for those of you who haven't heard of mine and my co-host's show, we do a women's history podcast whilst we drink, and we have become really awesome podcast buddies with Stephanie and Tux. And on this past week's mini-sode, I thought that you guys posed a really incredible question about how people got into history. And I think my path was kind of interesting. So I am a history teacher, and so is my grandmother. And I remember growing up, she had these incredible stories, and she was so cool, and she would travel to all these countries and bring me back these little trinkets. But that's not really the reason I got into history. It's just she was an outlet for me after I decided that that was my path. Also, I do want to preach to all of the history teachers out there. I swear to whatever exists that I definitely try to be more fun than making my students just memorize a list of dates. I have so many opinions on history education as somebody with my PhD in teaching, so we can always talk about that another time. I would love to have you guys talk my ear off about how awful a lot of history classes are. But let's get back to the point. I grew up in a really religious, right-wing household, and my schooling was super parochial because of that. So my science classes would be like, okay, the earth is 6,000 years old and God made it, and that's the end of discussion. And everybody's like, put my right hand up and then repeat what you say. Good job, teacher. And many of my history classes were like, okay, Christians rent around the world, saving people's souls. And because of a lot of Europe was Christians, you know, their culture spread. But I knew from a really young age that they were definitely leaving out some raping and pillaging, but I couldn't really ask those questions without being disrespectful in the setting that I was in. And I didn't really know what questions to ask because the proper history wasn't necessarily being posed to me. So what I did to go about it in an allowable way was learn about different religions and culture throughout history. So things I could say were, I'm really into ancient Egypt, not, is polytheism an option? Because the reason I wanted to study ancient Egypt was because I loved the idea of them having, you know, multiple deities, whereas I was never allowed to think in that manner. So I would really focus on them. And then I could say things like, I want to learn about the Crusades. I want to learn about the Trail of Tears. I want to learn about Christopher Columbus. But I wasn't allowed to say things like, I want to find out about mass war and genocide that's caused by religion. So I used it as a way to discover things that I wasn't being taught. And therefore, I was always, always from elementary school through present, just fascinated with history. So it's not something that hit me later in life. On a little bit of a lighter note, I absolutely adored Indiana Jones and thought I would be the best archaeologist in the world. I'm not an archaeologist, I'm a history teacher, but I still adore the process of archaeology. And instead of being an archaeologist, I think I won out because now I'm just a girl that gets drunk on my own little Her Story podcast. It was great to talk to you. Thank you so much for inviting people to share their history stories. And I can't wait to see you guys again soon next time I'm in New York. Bye.
I love her. Yeah.
I feel like we sounded like we were totally just trashing all history teachers in the last episode.
It was not our intention.
Yeah. We're trashing our own history teachers, yes, who did a bad job, but I'm sure that there are some amazing history teachers,
yeah,
out in the
world. Yeah, we know one.
Yeah, exactly. I wish that we, when I was young, I would have been able to take her class.
If only.
I didn't go to a Christian school, but I remember being in like confirmation classes and stuff when I was a kid and asking all the wrong questions. Ooh. And being like, the pastor being like,
no,
not here for me, asking things about like,
you're not supposed to question, period.
Yeah.
Period. Oof.
And I used to constantly get myself into trouble asking things about like other religions and like all. Oof. Yeah.
How does Mary have a child and she never had sex? Yeah. Explain the mechanics.
All right. Now let's play Katie's message. Katie is Allie's co-host on Her Story.
Hi, this is Katie from Her Story on the Rocks. And the story of how I first was introduced to history as an interesting concept was from my mom, really. I was the youngest of four siblings. I was the only girl, and my mom and I spent a lot of time together, and it was always something she was interested in, and then she became a history teacher at my very small school. I remember times when we would just talk about things, and she is also kind of a murderino and loves a good mystery in history, and we would get together and she would tell me all about these ancient people, and we would talk about Cleopatra, and I just wanted to know more. And then we would talk about the Roman dynasties, and I would want to know more. And she would talk about Anastasia, and that was one of my favorite stories to hear her tell, because she was an amazing storyteller, or is an amazing storyteller. And then she would talk to me about the Titanic, and everything that she told me about, I just wanted to know more. And I wanted to be an anthropologist, archaeologist when I was a kid, and I would just devour everything I could about archaeology and the ancient Egyptians. And a part of me thinks it was just an access point for me to get to talk to my mom, because for a while it was just the two of us. She was the only female in my life for a little while. And then once my world expanded, I got to know other historians and other women. But I think she was my real access point, and that's why I started to love history.
Oh, amazing.
Kinda cuts off.
Yeah.
Such a cool story.
I like that they both have family members that were history teachers.
I know. And they both wanted to be archaeologists because of it.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
So we have one more response. Ever since I did the Wong Kim Ark scandal, I've been kind of squatting in the Asian American identity sub on Reddit.
I love, you're such a Redditor now.
I love it. It's just so fascinating. I'm learning so much just kind of being a creep. Not being a creep. I am learning from people who are of different communities from myself. And it's been really eye-opening. So I threw out this question to the Asian American subreddit. And I got a response from someone who has a handle CN8Pan. This person wrote, I became interested in history when I was college age, learning history of China and the beginnings of Chinese America. The realization started then. It didn't truly form until my early 20s, linking it all together. I did read Zinn at age 15 for American history class, but I didn't really put it together how politically charged history is and how much it can be skewed for political gain until much later. I grew up in the greater New York City area, and it was at the behest of my instructors that we read this book. They were pretty fantastic. This person wrote, the East Asian history came when I realized how I knew nothing about East Asia, but yet somehow was a standing expert at the time on modern Europe. This person wrote, it's important to kids to learn the history of their home countries, regions, continents. It explains who they are, how they got there, why they do the things they do, and that good old representation of heroes that look like them. Yeah. So I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
For those of you out there that are not familiar with Zinn, it's Howard Zinn, right? Mm-hmm.
Howard Zinn, People's History of the United States.
Yeah, A People's History of the United States. I actually own it,
yeah,
but have not read it. Somebody recommended it a while back, and I bought it, but it's a big book. I mean, it's like a history book.
It's a textbook.
So, yeah, it's huge. And so I've been kind of like, it's daunting and I've been intimidated. But I think rather than sitting down and with the intent of like reading it from cover to cover, I need to just use it as like a reference.
Use it as reference.
I should be using it as a reference for this show, but I have not yet, but I will be. Yeah. But it's supposed to be like a history book that
is more diverse.
Yeah. And covers like real events in a real
tells
way.
Tells a nuanced story of American history from both sides.
Without all the whitewashing that comes from like textbooks that were written for schools. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a really important book. I haven't read it either. I need to, but I often just Google Howard Zinn when I'm researching my topic because he writes essays on everything. He's so prolific. Yeah, I use him as a reference because he's definitely a thought leader when it comes to American history.
All right. Well, thank you to
everyone who wrote in, all the responses. We had so many this time. It was kind of overwhelming, but in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. We want to hear from you guys. Like, if we have a mini, we're putting it out there because we want to hear from you. So don't.
It can't just be Annie.
Annie, please continue to write
in.
But like, if you're a listener out there who has been quietly listening and thinking about sending us something in the past, don't be shy.
Yeah.
Don't be scared. We're not going to bite.
Yeah. Our drinks are empty.
Mine's empty. Just a little.
So I guess we're done, right?
Yeah, we're done.
Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Stephanie Domingo.
Tux Lurzel.
Wow, I like that you say your name differently.
I don't know why that started, but
it brings a joy to my heart, truly. Thank you, Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and podfather. We could not do this without you.
Powerful wizard.
Yes. Sorcerer, level 10.
I used to actually play D&D when
I was just about to say that. Sounds like D&D.
And yes.
No offense. Tim is better than that.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone is. Nobody should be doing this.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn. New episodes are released the first and third Monday of every month. Please note that we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We are on Patreon if anyone would love to show us some love and throw us some nickels to support the production of our show.